Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, feels like this Lane Kiffin thing is getting a little out of control. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Pearl, so the Lane Kiffin, will he, won't he, leave Ole Miss, where is he going, LSU, Florida, maybe a mystery team is out there that we haven't talked about yet. I think you can tell just how big of a distraction this is when the quarterback of the football team has to put out a statement on social media saying this isn't a distraction.
The fact
that the quarterback kind of has to be, I'm not saying that people aren't acting like adults, but the fact that the quarterback can come out and say something shows exactly where the program is. And listen, we can blame the calendar and, you know, how Lane Kiffin has had to go about this while coaching his team to the best season in the history of Ole Miss football. We can talk about that, but it ultimately like hurts the team. It ultimately hurts the athletes. And the fact that Trinidad Chambliss said to our fans, this team is completely locked in, living in the moment, staying true to our 1-0 mindset for the Egg Bowl and future games. Like, you got to realize how tenuous this thing is, right?
Oh, absolutely. But is it, you know, is it that different than other situations? I guess it is because of the 12-team playoff. Because if normally, if you're about to go to the national title game, you're not going to leave. Because why would you leave a program that can get a national title game? I think this is not just a function of the schedule. It's a function of the fact that we have such a big playoff now that Lane Kiffin clearly doesn't take his chances of winning a title that seriously at Ole Miss. Otherwise, he would stay. I don't think he thinks he can win at all.
See, that's interesting, right? Yeah. Is it because he doesn't think that he can win at Ole Miss, or is it because these other schools are floating all of this eye-popping money hey, it's kind of now or never? Because I'm not sure if we know the answer to this, but if he takes another job, then he can't coach the rest of the season, right? Is that necessarily true? Or in this new world where everything about college football is different than it used to be, could he actually say, listen, I am taking the LSU job or I am taking the Florida job, but you know what? I'm going to see this through with my team. Do I sound like a rube here?
No, I had the same thought. Why? Ole Miss said wasn't the report that Ole Miss said if you do take this other job, you're out? I'm not sure why that's the case. There are a lot of coaches who are kind of semi-committed that stay. They don't always leave. But well, I guess I know, if he's going to start recruiting against them, at LSU or Florida, that is probably the issue.
Oh, right. You got to get him out of the building so he's not like, hey, come with me to Florida. But by the way, that could happen anyway.
Like, it will happen,
it's not like he hasn't been there for the last 6 years. Like, he could recruit anyone on the roster he wants. That's the, if you want to say, beauty of college football now, is that the players can move around and it's constant free agency. And I know that most of the big high school recruits sign basically in the first week of December. National Signing Day is not officially, I don't think, till February, but all the really 4 stars, 5 stars are committed the first week of December. Well, you know what? Like, he's had to get that class together this whole time. And who knows what that means if he leaves or stays. I don't know. This whole thing it almost feels like we're at an inflection point of just how crazy these coaching searches can get now in this new world.
Well, yeah. Then you add in the Lane Kiffin-ness of it all, because Lane Kiffin has always been a lightning rod. Since the day he got hired by the Raiders at age 31, he's just very, very charismatic. And also, I think that people dislike him already for a lot of different things over the years. And I bet you he has some enemies in the industry, and there are a lot of people who love him. I think that LSU, to me, is a front runner. because I think they would spend any amount of money to win a national title. I think the issue is, will Ole Miss really go all out for him and for the roster to win a national title? If he leaves, then to me, that says, oh, I don't think I was going to win it all this year. Because if he thought he could win a national title, how on earth could he leave?
Well, maybe it's not about this year. Maybe he finds it's unsustainable at Ole Miss, or he doesn't think he can sustain it at Ole Miss, right? Like, is it about, you're kind of forced to choose. Do I think this team could win? Yeah, maybe this team can win, but can I consistently build a winner?
Yeah, but
maybe
that,
he doesn't feel that way. I don't know why. It seems he's a double-digit win seasons for the last 4 years.
Yeah, but if you're a college football coach, you might get one shot at a national title. You might get one team. You're not thinking about sustained success. Honestly, if he had Ohio State's roster right now at Ole Miss, do you think he would even consider leaving? To me, if he really, I think this could be a reflection on where he thinks the program really is, because Trinidad Chambliss has been great and the team has been great. But listen, they lost a lot of talent to the NFL last year. I don't think he's so overwhelmingly good that he can't walk away from this team. I expect him. I mean, if we want to do some kind of show bet, I lean LSU for the most money and walk away and not coach this team. And by the way, as Dan Wetzel wrote a column for ESPN, he better win this darn Egg Bowl.
Well, yeah. Also, the idea, obviously, that he's coming back is gone, right? Because if he was coming back, wouldn't they make a big announcement about, hey, he's coming back, and it'd be triumphant and ceremonial, and it'd be the big launch point to make sure they don't have a letdown against Mississippi State?
No. I think he's still negotiating with them.
Oh.
He's trying to get the most money.
Oh, I just assume that if you're not going to announce it before the Egg Bowl, that means you're gone. You're just delaying the inevitable to make sure you don't drop this game. And then now you're in this weird 3-4-way tie in the SEC or whatever to try to get in the college football playoff.
But the art of negotiation, though, if, say, for example, LSU ups to 95, doesn't have to go, but he's going back to LSU and saying, to Ole Miss, saying, can you do 99? I don't think that, even if he was going back, he wouldn't admit it to them. Why would he do that? Like, why would he give in? He's going to push the price up.
Yeah, but to what point? Like, he probably has to know what a last and final might be for Ole Miss, at least. And the fact that the quarterback, this is the newest information, the quarterback, Trinidad Chambliss, had to come out on social media and say, we're all locked in on the Egg Bowl, so don't worry about us. I'm worried. Now, Mississippi State is not a very good team. So
yeah,
they should be
that.
Fine. But listen, we see college teams lose games all the time because of these types of distractions.
Mississippi State gave Texas hell a couple weeks ago.
That's true.
They're a little pesky, and they beat Arizona State thing earlier in the year. I thought Lane made an interesting comment on Friday when he mentioned that, like, because of the new landscape of college football, guys actually don't really care that much about these distractions because they're all getting paid. It's become so professional and everyone can leave at any moment that maybe 10, 15 years ago where kids were stuck and you couldn't transfer and guys weren't getting paid above the table or above board, maybe it was a little different when a coach was flirting with another school, but now they're just like, hey, man, we know this is a business. It's a business since they talked to me when I'm 16 years old trying to get a scholarship, right? So he made the case that perhaps there's not really going to be many distractions and his team will be fine because kids just know how much more professionalized this sport has become.
Yeah, it didn't help Nebraska earlier in the season after all the Matt Rule stuff was coming out. Didn't they lose to Minnesota?
No, and they haven't. I know Raiola got hurt, but they've kind of sputtered down the stretch, which they do every year.
Yeah.
Rule.
But Raiola didn't get hurt till the USC game, right? Am I remembering that?
Yeah, but I think they've lost like two of
their
last three.
They lost that Minnesota game, and that was right around the time when all the Matt Rule to Penn State stuff was really hot. And I think it definitely distracted them. Let's hear from Joel Klatt. Now, Pearl, speak for you and for me. I think we're both big fans of Joel Klatt on games. Does a great job. He and Gus Johnson. I mean, to do a game with Gus Johnson, you really got to be able to pick your lane.
Captain Jack!
And Joel does a really good job with Gus. Joel also has a podcast, and he was talking yesterday about the Lane Kiffin situation, Pearl. They posted on social media. And, think Joel's a talented guy. Pretty much disagree with everything he said here. Go ahead.
How does Lane Kiffin leave Ole Miss in the middle of a playoff run and have any credibility at his next place? I don't think that he would. Your credibility is your currency as a coach. We can sit here and lament the calendar and realize that, like, hey, man, this is not a great position for Lane to be in. I totally agree with that. But it's also still up to him. If you say yes to everything, how can you be committed to anything?
I'm sorry. This all sounds nice, and Joel is a great broadcaster, but Pearl, your credibility is your currency as a coach. That's just not true. Your currency as a coach is your win-loss record. And we have so many examples, including, isn't Bobby Petrino coaching right now?
Oh, yeah.
Your credibility is your currency.
Joel,
what'd you just get here? You just come off the bus?
Your credibility is your currency as a coach.
No, but he's not talking about off-field stuff. He's talking about, would you keep your word to the program? Which they don't either.
Also doesn't exist. How many times have guys said, you know, I'm the head coach right now? Or I'm the head coach, this is my job, and this is my home, and then they leave the next week. Credibility has never been the currency of a talented college football coach.
What about credibility to your roster? What if he's talking about that?
Well, you said it yourself. Lane on Friday was talking about how this is all transactional now, and it's transactional for the players, and it's transactional for the coach. We got another cut here from Joel Klatt.
I don't think he has to go anywhere to find success. This is not like it used to be. You see, it used to be like LSU would come open and you're like, I got to go there if I want to win at the top end. But guess what? The proof that you don't have to do that is Lane at Ole Miss. He is winning at the top end at Ole Miss. You can win in this era, in the modern era of college football. The fit is more important than the logo on your hat.
Yeah, see, again, I respect Joel Klatt a lot, but he's not walking in Lane Kiffin's shoes.
Well, that one I agree with, though. But you don't agree that Ole Miss obviously is proving this year that because of NIL, that it's spread out. You could definitely win at any school.
That's fine. I mean, I'm watching the current national champion is Ohio State. So
yeah, the number two team in the country is Indiana football.
That's fine. But here's the thing. I just think that you don't know what Lane has to do as far as behind the scenes fundraising and how easy or hard Ole Miss is compared to LSU or Texas Tech or Texas A&M, right? Like, there's degrees of this. You can say, yeah, he's winning. Or maybe Lane is pulling smoke and mirrors out of his backside and this is the best coaching we've seen. Like, by the way, Trinidad Chambliss is his backup quarterback. Like, he is doing this with a backup and someone we weren't expecting. Like, maybe he doesn't want it to be this hard. Is it possible he wants to go to a place where maybe the money comes in a little easier than it does at Ole Miss?
No, I think Joel's point is a good one. If Ole Miss can win this much now, I don't think the background of the helmet, because there's so many teams that are just out of nowhere. Why would Texas Tech be an elite program?
But Texas Tech hasn't won anything yet. Ole Miss hasn't won anything yet. You can pour money
into any program. That's right. I think Joel's point was you don't need to be a blue blood to have all of a sudden this ridiculous roster. And Ole Miss had crazy rosters, so better than LSU last couple of years, arguably.
Okay, but who's won titles in our lifetime?
Yeah, but I feel like our lifetime is meaningless now.
All right.
I mean, the fact that Indiana's number two means that anything that happened before now is just a joke. When Michael Penix beat... Who did Penix beat? Penn State? It was the craziest thing. We're like, whoa, Indiana has a football team and they can beat a good team? I don't think anything happened previously in our lifetime matters when it comes to program building anymore.
Yeah, see, I think that if that was... I think that you can't tell a guy, hey, you've got it on easy street, when you don't know what it's like behind the scenes for Lane. Like, and again, it still could be, by the way, guys, when all is said and done, these national championship winners could still be Ohio State and Georgia and, you know, Notre Dame, like all the places that have historic, I know Notre Dame doesn't win all that often, but all the historic teams that have been Michigan, it could end up being just these same blue blood programs all over again. SMU, Texas Tech, and Ole Miss still haven't won Jack yet. It's fun. It's fun that they're good now and use your money, but they haven't won anything.
Only four schools out there have won anything.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, LSU is one of them.
But I'm saying, this feels a different era now. I mean, it used to be, basically, it was either going to be Alabama or maybe Clemson. It feels more wide open to me. And the 12-team playoff, obviously, all those teams only had to win one or two playoff games. Now it's going to be much more parity come national titles. I mean, the fact that Michigan came out of nowhere to win under Harbaugh, it's it's already started to spread out a little more.
Michigan didn't come out of nowhere. They were in the college football playoff the year before. They just lost to TCU in that weird game.
They had been non-threatening for, what, 20 years?
I'm just saying, I respect Joel Klatt, but I think he's totally off on this.
But it is a fair question. Why was LSU have such an advantage over Ole Miss? Like, if you actually pull back and say, well, obviously Ole Miss is better right now, why can't Ole Miss compete like LSU? Why can't they turn into LSU?
I think that one of the reasons, and we've heard this just from Matt Moscona, who covers Lockdown Tigers down in Baton Rouge and others, is the amount of homegrown talent in Louisiana that stays in Louisiana.
Yeah, but Louisiana's not that much of a bigger state than Mississippi. They're both warm. But I assume there's a lot of talent from Mississippi as well. Tons of talent.
I think Louisiana high school football is definitely better than Mississippi. I'm not trying to disrespect Mississippi football.
Right, but Mississippi football, probably not that dissimilar, I wouldn't imagine. I mean, it's LSU. It's not Florida.
I just feel like I think about the players that LSU has had, and Jamar Chase, and obviously, all. I mean, they've had all these guys are Louisiana guys. Yes, they do get some guys from Texas and some guys from Mississippi, but I assume if you're Mississippi, it's going to be hard to poach a guy from Louisiana to come over. The only thing is, though, with the transfer portal, do you even need that? Like, to me, why don't you just go just get guys from other places? Because the teams do that all the time.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. So, yeah, a couple things disagreeing with Joel there. I will disagree that credibility is the currency as a college football coach.
Like, I'm with you on that.
Credibility is your currency as a coach.
In what world? Credibility? That's like 20th on the list of skills that you would need or things you need to be a successful college football coach. Credibility. Get out of here, Joel.
Two players who are definitely from Mississippi, because I know their backstory, DK and AJ Brown. You could get those guys. That's probably show me.
Why weren't they better in college?
they were good.
Yeah, but they didn't win anything. Like, that's what I'm saying. Anyway. Well,
yeah, but I mean, I think they can now, though. Obviously, like, this is, you said at the start, it's the best Mississippi team we've ever had.
888-710-4ISN. Quickly, let's go to our pal Big Dave's in Kentucky. What's up, Dave?
Hey, I think it's obvious who created this whole debacle, and his name is Reggie Bush. Had he not did what he did at USC, the Lane Kiffin would have never been fired on the tarmac, and the entire course of history would have been changed. But I digress. Seriously, what's the big deal now as far as LSU and Florida over Mississippi State or Texas Tech or Texas A&M? The landscape has leveled. It's changed. It's not the same as it used to be. I mean, it's just not. Give me a tangible reason why the LSU is so much better than Ole Miss. A tangible reason, not don't give me the aura and the history, because nobody cares anymore, including the players.
Yeah, Dave, what I'm saying is it could be easier to get money at LSU than Ole Miss. That's what I'm saying. Like, if it, you know, we don't know right now how hard Lane Kiffin has to work behind the scenes to get the type of money that may be flowing more freely into different programs. Does that make sense?
It does,
Nick Saban complained constantly about how Alabama couldn't keep up with their NIL, right? Like, it's not easy at every place.
Okay, so let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
How much, when the revenue sharing kicks in next year, right?
No, it's already here. $20.5 million.
How much is... How much has that impacted that aspect of the argument?
Well, I mean, this is the whole thing about the revenue sharing, though. $20.5 million for all the athletic departments who opt into this has to be spread over all the sports. Now, I know that probably, right, you know, for some schools is different than others, but I think it doesn't go as far as you need it to go. You also need NIL on top of it.
I would say... Mm-hmm. My sense is revenue sharing is not really a thing. That's a thing in the newspapers, but come on, this is college football. Dave, you've been around long enough. You think that makes any difference whatsoever on what people are getting paid?
Well, I want to be perfectly honest with you. I don't understand I've never really dived into the complexities of it, so I don't know. You know, I was just curious as to how much that was actually going to moderate things and kind of level the playing field. Anyway, listen, guys, it's a really interesting argument. I'm enjoying listening. You guys have a great day.
Dave, and have yourself a fantastic Thanksgiving, sir. Have a great holiday. Okay, we've got to take a quick timeout. Our pal Carrington Harrison is going to join us from Kansas City next. We're going to dive into the Chiefs coming off their big win over the Colts. But is this the same dangerous Chiefs squad, Pearl, that we're used to watching this time of year. Again, 888-710-4ISN if you want to weigh in on Lane Kiffin. Is he doing everything right or is he doing everything wrong?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. We get back to our Lane Kiffin discussion in just a moment. We know one job that Lane's not taking. Kansas City Chiefs. They've got a coach, Andy Reid. People rejoicing in Kansas City, Pearl, because he was finally committed to running the ball. But let's welcome in Carrington Harrison. Does a fantastic job. 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. He's on 2 to 6 in the afternoons. It's one of our sister stations. Carrington, thanks for the time. How you doing?
Hey, good morning. Happy to come on with you guys. I don't even know what there is to discuss with Lane Kiffin. He's going to be taking the LSU job on Friday.
Well, that's the big debate, right? Is he doing everything right here? Is he doing everything wrong? And how he's going about this whole thing. But
Willie bringing in Nick Saban as a defensive coordinator at LSU, too.
Well, I mean, we all know Lane Kiffin's MO. He's been a job hopper since day one. Now that he has an opportunity to take one of the three best jobs in college football, you think he was staying at Oxford, Mississippi? No, that man's about to be eating beignets by Saturday morning.
It sounds lovely. Love to be there with him doing it. Okay, let's talk about the Kansas City Chiefs, though. And Carrington, if we had given you some truth serum the moment that Kareem Hunt put the ball on the field as far as fumbling to start the fourth quarter, Kansas City was down 20-9, staring the season basically in the face. What would you have thought, and what did you think in that moment?
Well, I mean, now you're injecting me with truth serum. When that happened, I texted my producer that we were going to leave the show with the NFL draft guest, like, because the season was over. That's what I was thinking. Like, that was going through my mind. I led the show with this yesterday on my show. I think that was as down as the Chiefs have been since the fourth quarter of the first Super Bowl. They were down 20-10 with less than 8 minutes to go against San Francisco. You don't win that game. San Francisco had been dominating the Chiefs up to that point. Now, we obviously know how things turned around. I mean, that was the exact same feeling, I think, on Sunday. But then something just switched with the Chiefs. I mean, after that point, Indianapolis had four drives. They went 12 plays with 13 yards after the Kareem Hunt fumble. Patrick Mahomes, after the Kareem Hunt fumble, 11 of 17 for 160 yards passing and 22 rush yards. I don't know what happened. I don't know what changed with the Kansas City Chiefs, but they went from, I mean, as down as you could possibly be to saving their season in the span of about 15 minutes.
You know what's funny about them, though? Maggie and I have been talking a lot about how there are these fourth quarter drives where Patrick Mahomes will have a three and out. It happened even on Sunday. They were deep in their own territory. Is something slightly missing in these fourth quarter scenarios? Because we all expect if Mahomes ever gets a chance late in the game that it's a guaranteed scoring drive. But he's missing some of them this year.
Yeah, I mean, that happened in the Broncos game as well. I mean, they had those back-to-back three and outs where they had an opportunity to potentially win that game, and they just left the door open, and then Bo Nix went down the field. I mean, that's kind of been a big talking point of, You know, I think the expectation in the first part of the season was when the Chiefs got back Rashee Rice, oh, they were about to take flight. Their offense was going to transform. And it looked that way immediately. You remember they had those two games against Washington and Vegas where their offense was fantastic. And then something has just switched, at least when it comes with this team. I got to give a lot of credit to Indianapolis. I think they're a very, very good team. The run game for Kansas City has just been a concern. There's not a lot of explosiveness in their run game, but they certainly stuck with it. Kareem Hunt got 30 carries on Sunday, and that was very valuable. But I think everyone's trying to figure out how to get this offense to the next level.
Carrington Harrison is joining us, 96.5 The Fan, pardon me, in Kansas City. Afternoon host, you can listen to him 2 to 6 o'clock this afternoon, and it'll be on Infinity Sports Network this weekend. So the offense, see, I thought the defense was really what changed in this Colts game. I thought all of a sudden Steve Spagnuolo was like, wait a minute, I could just send a blitz on Daniel Jones, and he doesn't know what the hell's going on. And Jones, all of a sudden, they have totally abandoned the run, just started throwing the ball, and Daniel Jones could not find any of his receivers. Carrington, is this defense good enough to be a Super Bowl contender?
I actually want to address the part you said about Daniel Jones. I'm officially out on the Indianapolis Colts. Yeah. They're a nice story. They're a good team. They're going to win 12 games. They're going to have a good season. I'm sure their fans will buy T-shirts because they win their division. There's no chance you're telling me that that quarterback is going on the road in two consecutive weeks against playoff teams and winning. That team's not going to the Super Bowl. I saw them against Pittsburgh. He was a turnover machine. I saw them against Kansas City. I mean, all they really needed was probably two first downs in the fourth quarter, and they probably won that game just because of time of possession and those things, and they can't do it. And those 12 plays I told you, I mean, they threw the ball 9 times and got 5 yards out of those throws. They were very over-reliant on Daniel Jones at the end of the game, and he just couldn't come through. To answer the question about the Chiefs, the problem that I think the Chiefs' defense is going to run into is they don't force turnovers, they don't get sacks. It's hard to get off the field routinely against good offenses and good quarterbacks if you don't do one of those two things. So I think as the Chiefs' defense is moving forward, you either got to continue to take more chances and try to get sacks. So on third down, maybe you don't force a turnover, but you get off the field with a big sack, or they just got to start forcing fumbles or taking the ball away via interception. But those are two major flaws with their defense. They are bottom 5 in turnovers forced. They've only forced 9 so far this season, and they are 23rd in sacks.
I can't even imagine what the rating is going to be on Thursday at 4:30 in Dallas for the Chiefs Cowboys. It's a pressure game for both teams. Both must win. Let me just ask first about that. Like, in a moment like this, who responds better to having all those eyeballs on them in the must win situation? The Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes or the Cowboys with Dak Prescott?
You mentioned the rating. I mean, I think it's going to be the most watched regular season game ever. I think they're staring at, just especially now with just all the different avenues in which you can watch NFL games. I think we're talking about just a massive number, especially if the game is close late. And I think most people expect the game to be close late. I mean, I think you would have to say Kansas City in that scenario, just given how many big-time pressure games that they've played in. But I'm 100% with you. Like, both of these teams need this game. The Chiefs just don't have many tiebreakers if you're looking at from the wild card perspective. The Chiefs don't have the tiebreaker against Buffalo. They lost. The Chiefs don't have the tiebreaker against Jacksonville. The Chiefs probably won't have the tiebreaker against the Chargers, even if they beat them, because the Chargers are probably going to have a better record in the AFC West and also a better record in the AFC. The Chiefs still have a losing record against AFC teams. So, I mean, the Chiefs probably don't get in at 10-7. They probably have to be 11-6 or better to make the postseason. And Dallas, I didn't think they were making the playoffs. And then you pull that game off on Sunday against the Eagles, and you start thinking, maybe the Cowboys can get themselves back into it. They got an explosive offense. Their defense is playing a lot better than it was at the beginning of the season. So, yeah, I mean, both of these teams are in the exact same spot where they both need the game equally.
Carrington Harrison joining us for just another minute. He's from 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. Okay, so does this seem right to you, Carrington, that if you look on DraftKings right now, the first AFC team with the best odds to win the Super Bowl is the Kansas City Chiefs? Is that right?
Well, this is what I think is happening. I think Vegas knows that you can't sell the Chiefs at a discount. That if the Chiefs just get in and you gave people odds at 8-1, 10-1 for them to go to the Super Bowl, then I think the public would just hop in on that number. I think it's more related to that than anything. I mean, I'm looking at, like, if you ask me today who is the favorite in the AFC, I would say New England. I think New England is going to be the one seed, and just I think it's going to be really difficult to go into that place and win. But if you're looking at the rest of the AFC, I mean, everybody is flawed. New England, their starting quarterback has never played in a postseason game before. That matters. Denver, their offense is very, very spotty where, I mean, they've just walked to the edge a couple of times and it feels like somebody just needs to give them a pushover and you can eliminate that team. Kansas City's not the same team that they were. Baltimore was terrible the first half of the season and now they're on fire. Buffalo can't stop anybody on defense. So I think there's just so many questions about everybody. So I think the feeling is if Kansas City can find their way into the tournament, they will be a favorite in every game that they play.
Yeah, and let's fast forward. Say they do get in the playoffs. How are they generally as a road playoff team? I mean, we know some of the big games, but obviously I imagine it's a pretty big split between home and away. I know they've gone through the road to get there. Why should we be confident with them if they have to go to New England, if they have to go maybe to Denver?
I mean, I think the answer is just they're the Chiefs. I mean, they've only had two road, which is crazy to think. They've only had two road playoff games during this entire stretch. They won both of those road playoff games, but no, they've only had two during this entire journey. I really think the answer is they're the Chiefs. Like, the Colts, to me, are a better team than Kansas City. I thought they were going into it, but just the Chiefs just always figure it out, always at the last minute they do it. Now, this season, I think the question is, are they going to do it? There's other mistakes that they need to clean up this season. Their special teams is not good. Juwan Taylor, their right tackle, number 74, four separate times this season, he has committed a penalty that has negated a touchdown. The Chiefs just make more mistakes this season than they have in the past. But I just think the hope is if the Chiefs can just figure it out in the final 6 weeks of the season and they're hot going into the postseason, you will take your chance in a game in which Patrick Mahomes is the starting quarterback and Bo Nix is on the other side, or Drake May is on the other side, or Justin Herbert. I think that's the hope, is that the Chiefs just have the best player in the National Football League on their team, so you'll take your chances every time in a single elimination game.
Carrington, last one. Who's actually playing better right now, Patrick Mahomes or Dak Prescott?
Probably Dak. I mean, I would say Dak. I never thought about it that way. Yeah, no, Dak Prescott is playing better than Patrick Mahomes. The thing about Dak, though, is to me, he's at this, like, certain level in his career with, like, nothing he does in the regular season matters. Like, Dak Prescott could throw seven touchdown passes on Sunday or Thursday and put together the best game. No one will care. I won't care. You guys won't care. The question will be, can you do it in January? He won't do it in January. They'll go on the road to Seattle, and they'll lose 37-10, and they'll all make fun of the Cowboys the next day. So we've done this with Dak Prescott before. Dak will put up these really big numbers. It'll be really impressive, and then they'll get smoked in the first round of the playoffs. So this season will be no different.
Well, luckily, he's not the holder, so he can't have a total total redo of the Romo botched playoff game against Seattle all those years ago. Listen, Carrington, thanks so much for the time. Love listening to you breaking down the Chiefs on 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City and listening to you on the Infinity Sports Network. Enjoy the holiday, and thank you.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me today.
Going to be interesting. Also, how the Chiefs stop CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens.
You know what I'm betting on, and I'm looking up now. Patrick Mahomes is going to run so much in this game. With the playoffs on the line, if it's close in the fourth quarter, he is going to put it on his shoulders, and I guarantee
you have
that
his rushing prop?
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. So, okay, Mahomes rushing prop. Oh, I don't have the total over. Hold on, give me a sec. Vamp for a sec.
Well, I got to go to break. Manny keeps telling me, go to break.
Stop. I'm almost there.
Nope.
Wait,
gonna have to tease it. We'll find out on the other side. What is Patrick Mahomes rushing prop for Thursday's game against the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, it might change because I'm about to put a big bet on it right this second.
888-710-4ISN. Don't move.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in.
we host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, the Defensive Player of the Week is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. I got a choice. Maggie, I don't know if you have one. That I was watching this weekend, and I thought, oh, this got to be the Defensive Player of the Week.
I was watching last night and thought we had many candidates.
Oh, definitely true. How about Cardinals defensive tackle Walter Nolan getting the interception and almost getting the end zone and his gigantic body spilling out of his uniform as he jumped? That was my favorite play of the weekend. I love when big men do something. That guy is a monster. Unfortunately, I was looking up the highlight and it says Walter Nolan ruled out with knee injury. He can't get on the field consistently, but that he's awesome. He's like Jalen Carter 2.0. I hope that he gets to play consistently because he's a force. So I'm going to Walter Nolan.
I think that EJ either went with J.C. Horn, who had two interceptions last night, or Jair Brown, who also had two interceptions last night. It was an interception fest on Monday Night Football.
Guys, I think he was kind of dopey for his decisions in the offseason, but you can't lie. Myles Garrett is pretty damn good.
You're the Browns. I know the fans might get frustrated, but...
Ooh. Oh, man. Myles Garrett just swats the ball out of the hand of Geno Smith. And it's recovered by the Browns. Malik Collins recovers it.
That is Myles Garrett, your Defensive Player of the Week. He had three sacks over the weekend against the Las Vegas Raiders. That was three of 10 sacks against the Las Vegas Raiders. Myles Garrett putting together what could potentially be a Defensive Player of the Year performance despite playing on one of the worst teams in the NFL. Myles Garrett leading the league in sacks with 18. He could break the record in a week or two. It's insane. Myles Garrett, your Defensive Player of the Week.
All right.
I thought he was kind of like, it's like Michael Jordan MVP. You don't give it to Myles Garrett, right? Like, that's so obvious.
He's almost too good not to give it to him this year.
He had three sacks?
No, I mean, say Defensive Player of the Week. Like, you can't do Myles. Yeah,
right.
But I know.
He had three sacks this week.
It's like his worst game in a month.
Good point.
I'm just saying, like, he's like Michael Jordan MVP. You spread it around a little bit. Have you done TJ? I'm sorry, Myles Garrett.
I don't know if I have.
I don't think you have either.
Yeah, I did J.C. Horn a couple of weeks ago against my Jets. That was painful, so I couldn't go back to J.C. Horn again. J.C. Horn is nice, by the way. He's so good.
I know. I hope he's not out for a long time,
yeah,
but
seriously.
The concussion, that was a scary... an update that Lisa Salters had last night, or was it, I'm sorry, it was the other one.
It was Laura Rutledge.
Laura Rutledge, excuse me, the other one. It was Laura, the other award-winning...
respecting women.
The other award-winning journalist on the sideline, Laura, who does a great job. 22 and a half is the record, obviously, right? The Strahan record. He's playing the San Francisco 49ers.
They hand the ball off a lot.
I was going to say, I don't think it's happening this week.
I would not put anything past Myles Garrett, and especially the way Brock Purdy be running around. If he gets kind of... We mentioned that caller mentioned earlier how they beat them a couple years ago. In that game, Brock Purdy was 12-27. He was sacked three times in that game.
Okay, but don't you think this is more likely to come at home against the Titans on December 7th?
I got Cam Moore back there. Yeah, that's a lot.
Cam holds on to the ball a little long. I don't mean to laugh. He's fun to watch.
Yes.
But,
I mean, we're keeping a buck right now. We ass.
Hey, he played okay against the Seahawks this week. I mean, Seahawks are pretty tough, and he had a pretty good game. Cam Ward potentially against Shador Sanders in a couple weeks. Oh,
that's
talk
fun.
About a rivalry.
If Shador can hang on to the job.
Yeah.
That will literally be the most unwatchable game in the entire NFL schedule.
Oh, come on. That would be the most hyped game if we were back in March.
I know, but actually, the actual play on the field would be impossible to bear.
It'd be funny. It's like, oh, is this the first and second overall pick in the draft? Like, no. It was first and then 160, whatever. Let's get to Bogus, who's got the latest headline.
These headlines are sponsored by Skechers. Watch the Skechers World Champions Cup this December 4th, 5th, and 7th on ESPN and ABC. As we've been discussing all morning, in the first half of Monday Night Football, Brock Purdy was better at throwing to the Panthers than his Niners. Three picks, although Troy Aikman forgave him for the third. Purdy says he'll be fine.
The greats and the good quarterbacks, man, they don't dwell on the past. They're able to, you know, go through some bumpy, you know, trials and stuff and then learn from it and keep going. So that's the challenge ahead of me, and, you know, I'm excited for it.
Hope we all noticed the self-edit. Great, good quarterbacks do this and that. The Niners played it safe in the second half. Purdy threw no more picks, and they grinded out a 29 win over the Panthers. The San Francisco defense only allowed 3 points after those picks, including snatching a Bryce Young throw in the end zone. Young held to 169 yards after a franchise record 448 two Sundays ago. Rico Dowdle only running for 38 in this one. Christian McCaffrey, 89 yards on the ground, 53 receiving, and a rushing touchdown against his original team. Now, this one ended with Niners receiver Juwan Jennings drilling Panthers safety Trevon Merrig in the face mask because Merrig might have drilled him in the groin during the game. Kyle Shanahan had Jennings back postgame.
The guy took a cheap shot and hit him in the and it's real proud of Juwan for not losing his mind out there and get him to the sideline.
Merrig blamed Jennings' overly physical blocking for any issues they might have.
Oh, come on, bro.
It's
football.
Last night.
So is he going to get suspended now for this Browns game that we're talking about?
I hope not.
Juwan Jennings?
This was not like a, I don't know, I hope not.
I mean, you get suspended for spitting. Would you not get suspended for a punch?
Was it a punch, really? I keep watching it. It looked like more like a mush. We keep doing this thing where we calling everything a punch.
Yeah,
it,
no,
this
is more like there's a mush. Difference. There's a difference.
I also like, by the way, I mean, I know we always say this is the soft era of athletes, but this feels like an F around and find out era of athletes because we saw Jalen Ramsey go after Chase for spitting. Yeah. And, you know, now we got this guy, you know, who Juwan Jennings was like, all right, you're going to do this? Watch this.
Jalen
like,
Carter spit on the dude.
Oh, I don't know.
Ramsey. The dude, Dak Prescott.
Yeah, but guy. Ramsey's, yeah, have you guys been watching what he's been doing? He hit a guy again late.
Well, I mean, that's been the story of Jalen Ramsey's career, has it not?
But he's a lot bigger, and he's really throwing guys
around. I'm not defending Ramsey for any early late hit he had on Chase.
Everybody wants to fight Ramsey.
Yeah, I'm just talking about the fact that if you do something that crosses the line, it seems like guys are more willing to say, you know what, I'm just going to fight you now.
Yeah, but Chase wanted to fight Ramsey early in the game, and he couldn't because he had to stay in the game.
I'd watch that.
Ramsey, you'd had to stay in the game, too, and he did not care.
I think it depends on the sport.
He's not Jamar Chase.
I don't think in basketball they're not doing that still.
No, I mean football.
Just football.
This is a purely football take. In the NFL, I feel like we're seeing guys just be like, oh, okay, you're going to do something underhanded? All right, watch this. Pow. Right
overhanded?
Yeah.
EJ Manny, bad news for you guys. The Knicks cannot win the NBA title this season.
Why?
The Pistons extending their win streak to 13 last night, 122-117 in Indiana. The previous two Piston teams to win 13 straight, the 89-90 Pistons, the 03-04 Pistons, were the NBA champs. So see you guys next year.
Is Ben Wallace or Isaiah Thomas walking through that door?
No, but Jalen Duren is.
I'll throw my hot coffee right at you.
But what problem is... Both the Pistons and the Knicks might eventually face the Thunder. So winning the title, that's the only thing. I like your streak here, but the Thunder seems like a problem.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. Let's check back with UConn head coach Dan Hurley,
who
is doing everything possible to keep tryptophan off the court this week. His wife, Andrea, just did a sit-down with ESPN and told her husband to make sure he keeps coaching well.
When I leave to go to Jersey, if I'm not there for the night, he can't even order food on his phone.
Good Lord.
So, he sounds useless.
He's useless. He better do this job right, because other than that, forget about it.
Women love an independent gentleman like that, don't they, Maggie?
She said she was the boss of the house.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that off of the, 7-second clip that you played?
Apparently, she also told him that Jay Wright doesn't take out the garbage. So why should I take out the garbage?
Because Jay...
Wait, what?
That's what
Mrs. Hurley said that?
Yeah, Mrs. Hurley said that. That's what she told him. Because she tries to give him chores.
Yeah.
one of them, I guess, taking out the garbage. He's like, do you think Jay Wright was taking out the garbage?
Oh, he said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He said Jay Wright.
First of all, you think Andrea Harrelly knows who the hell Jay Wright is?
Yes. She comes from a college basketball family, doesn't she?
He's been a coach long enough that they've 100% ran across the rights at something.
Totally.
100%.
Okay. I think so. I don't think she's one of those like wives who doesn't know what's going on. I think
I get the opposite vibe. I think she's just like living. But apparently she didn't want to go to LA with the Lakers because she's like, I'm the queen of
New Jersey.
Yeah. In Jersey. Like, why would I leave here? Like, I think she's just all about
the
town.
Soprano.
No, I think that now you guys got a vamp for me. I think she comes from a basketball family.
I've got a hot take. Dan Hurley, he's off his rocker.
Yeah.
Also, she's enabling him. Put your foot down for once.
He's trying. He keeps saying Jay Wright wouldn't do that.
But do it again and keep doing it until he takes out the damn trash.
Well, but here's
the
thing.
Put a motorized thing on it. We saw it in Montana State.
Hey, that was last week's B-Bonk. This is also, I realize, you know, the classic male-female, like, break it up the chores.
Sure.
Like, garbage is definitely the guy's domain.
Equal rights. Go ahead.
That's how I cut my finger off.
Yes, you're breaking down boxes. Mm-hmm. And
that
now,
my wife bought and didn't break down herself.
Uh-oh.
And now I've passed this on to my son. So now I don't let him go near the road, obviously, because he's only six. But now my kid's job is to bring the garbage cans up to the, garage.
He hates you.
Wow, that's young.
I just said, get your little hands here, and then you tip the the garbage can on the wheels, EJ. It's wheels. They're empty.
They're bigger than him, though, aren't they?
By a lot. It's actually funny. I'll take a video sometime.
I don't want any evidence on my phone.
I kind of want to see this.
No, you can't even see the person. It just looks like the garbage cans are moving on their own.
Trash can?
They're haunted.
What is that, the 1910s when, like, the 10-year-olds were in, like, the coal mines or whatever?
Yeah, taking up the garbage is the coal mines. same. I don't let him go near the road. I bring it up from the road, and then he...
Maggie's got her kid going through, you know, tiny crevices in between machines like it's the 1920s again.
All right, get your little hands
Industrial
here to
Revolution.
Sew these little sneakers together.
The cotton gin or something.
Side note, how about the Gray Mansion? How long is this walk?
It's a
two-person walk from the curb to the house?
Hey, you know
I got
that.
10 steps. First, you have to go through the gate.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
Cross the moat, pet the dragon.
Well, with his little
Say hello
legs,
to security.
I get it from the road. He brings it up the hill.
This is a real
castle. He's twice as many steps as I am because his little legs are so small.
This is a real
Yeah, and like a castle right now, our dishwasher also doesn't
work. There's real crocodiles in there.
I told you guys I don't have a microwave. I live in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm. You choose to not have a microwave. Yeah. You have the power for one, the electricity, and the space, it sounds like.
Yeah. Living in the wilderness is not an aspect of this.
Maggie, do you live in like Aaron Rodgers' old home? Like,
yeah, exactly.
The Marie Antoinette was getting
Is that her son's voice?
Oh my gosh!
By the way, best thing about city living, EJ, having the trash chute right outside your door.
Oh, I love that.
Heaven on
earth.
Just
disappears. You don't have to think about it.
Walk three steps and you never think about it again.
Yeah, but I had battles with that thing, like getting the bag into the shoe.
Yeah. I know it's a tricky about. Part. Yeah, because they're never big enough.
I'm like, then the bag breaks and
are
all that.
The size of Maggie's child.
Now who's complaining? You can't get the bag down the laundry chute. How do you live?
Just make the chute bigger. Why do they make these things so damn small?
Because they don't want you to put a body down there.
Or you guys can get your weight up. Go
New
to
York
the gym.
City. I'm not surprised. There probably are some bodies down there.
Just get your weight up, man. Lift more, heavier. It'll be easier.
Nothing to do with lifting, Maggie.
What are you,
Maggie,
talking,
what are you
about?
Talking about?
Sure, I'll play it.
It's a shame that's where we got to leave
we
it.
We can lift the garbage.
Imagine what tomorrow's show is going to be like. Sheesh. All right. Thank you, EJ Stewart, Manny Rodriguez, Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan. Thank you to Carrington Harrison, who joined us from Kansas City. Tomorrow, we got a whole lot of holiday fun for you. See you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.